back in the day, it was us. We called ourselves the Four Horsemen. That's right. Don't judge us. And I think I was the nature boy. We had a guy named Gilbert. He called himself Jules. You remember Chris? He was Pimp Juiced. And Corey was the Rock. And this is what he would say. They say, "What's your name?" He said, "You can't rock a rock, so don't rock C." We didn't know what that meant then, and I still don't know what that means, right? But praise God for my brother being in the house today, man. Super excited. Amen. 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 So we're going to get into the word, and then also blessed to see Pastor Jackie Jackson in the house and his beautiful fiance. Amen. Greta. Amen. Can I let the cat out the bag, or do you want me to hold on? I just hold on. Let me tell you something. Do you remember when I said that this ministry this year was going to be doing some things so crazy that people from out of town was actually going to start coming to this ministry? Pastor Jackson and his beautiful fiance are now a part of this ministry, coming from Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm telling you. Something crazy is going on here at Growth Temple Ministries. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it. And he's got some beautiful ministry, some serious ministry. I won't tell you. I'll let him share that with you. But it is powerful. And I believe that this is a season. And Clint, you and I were talking last night. Every issue and ism in the city is going to be met by this church. Amen. I believe that God is going to use us in such a miraculous way that there will be healing for whatever it is you're going through. Amen. How many of you know being sick ain't always physical? So just super excited about everything that's popped off. I want to bless God for Apostle Rhodes and Pastor Sonia, even though she's chilling in, she's chilling in good weather. She's in Florida, amen. We down here shivering in April and then May rather. I bless God for Apostle stepping in at, you know, probably just about a week's notice and doing his thing. And he tore the house up, and we bless God for that. Amen. And I bless God for Pastor Sonia. One of the things that I always used to say to the ministry team is, if I'm out of church and people were thinking about joining that Sunday, they should still join that Sunday, though I'm not in the pulpit. Last week, two people gave their life to Jesus under Sonia's message. Amen. Anytime you say somebody gave their life to Jesus, you're supposed to lose your mind. Yeah, you're supposed to lose. And so I just bless God for everything that I see him doing in the house of the Lord. Let's get on into it. Amen. I ain't got too long before the pain medicine kicks in. Pray for your pastor. Today we're going to talk about the book of Acts, and this is part 11, the book, not chapter 11, but the book of Acts, part 11. And today we will be walking into part 11 in our sermon series of the book of Acts. And as many of you know, we started this sermon series in the book of Acts the very first day of 2026, the very first Sunday of 2026, and we're only on chapter 4. Amen. This is a series that is easily going to take all of 2026 to get through, and most likely some of 2027. Now, because of all of the disruptions we've had during this series, due to health challenges of my own, I just want to tell you why it is important that we journey through this piece, through this book, piece by piece. The book of Acts is vital today because it provides a historical blueprint for the church, demonstrating how Holy Spirit empowers believers to advance the gospel globally despite opposition. It bridges the gospels and the epistles, offering actionable examples of discipleship, a radical generosity and mission. while showcasing God's faithfulness across cultures. In chapter 1 and 2 of Acts, we saw how the church had unprecedented success and was growing by leaps and bounds. But as we enter chapters 3 through 5, the church encounters opposition for the first time. How many of you know that if you follow Jesus, you're going to have some opposition? Amen. Opposition, you might want to check to see if you're serving Jesus. Amen. 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 I'm leery of Christians that ain't got no problems. Just none. Just, oh, everything's great. You know, praise the Lord. This is the day. Yeah. Ain't nothing hurting. You ain't late on no bill. Lord have mercy. So this is the this is where they are facing opposition for the first time. And that opposition is largely based around, guess what? Simply the name of Jesus. In fact, I have a question for you. Why is it that so many people are afraid to witness for Jesus? I mean, we love Jesus, right? We know that Jesus has changed our lives. We know that Jesus has brought us salvation. We know that other people need Jesus. So the question of the day is, why is it that we are so afraid to witness for the Messiah? There are a number of reasons, I believe. Sometimes we are afraid because we don't know what to say. Amen. Now the way the job has it set up, the employment situation has it set up, you could lose your job for talking about Jesus. Isn't it amazing? You won't lose your job talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You won't lose your job if you're talking about if you're coming from a Jehovah Witness perspective. You won't lose your job if you're getting down with Buddha. You understand what I'm saying to you? But it's something about the name. I don't know about any of you in here, but I'm excited that I am connected to a name that is so powerful that even demons tremble. Amen. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm connected to something. I'm glad that I am connected to someone that if I begin to talk about him a little too much, people might want to get rid of me for fear of what might happen. And it ain't like I'm getting ready to lose my mind. It ain't like I'm getting ready to pull my pistol out and go crazy or any of that stuff. It's something about this name, Jesus. Can I just get about 5 people to say it? Jesus. So sometimes we're afraid because we don't know what to say. Sometimes we are afraid of saying the wrong thing. Sometimes we are afraid that they might ask a question that we don't have the answer to. But probably the main reason that we are afraid is because we don't want to offend nobody. Now, it's amazing. It's amazing that people can be riding down the street, all windows down, sunny day feeling good, and playing music that every other word is a cuss word. But if I say something about Jesus, if I pull up bumping Maverick City, amen, you know, people roll their windows up, turn their nose up, you know. We are afraid to witness for Jesus because we know people may get offended. You understand what I'm saying to you? We the thing about it is like, this is the one thing that we shouldn't mind offending people with. They used to say stuff that was crazy. I remember when my daughter was just, you know, this high, and they were like, I hope, you know, people would say stuff like, I hope you don't be forcing Jesus on her. I'm like, why? They forcing the world on her. They forcing the world on her. All you gotta do is cut on TV. The world is being forced on our children, amen. Can we take it deeper than that? All we got to do is send them to school. And you got teachers that are forcing the world on our children. Don't send your baby to college and your baby ain't rooted and grounded in the truths of Christianity, because you'll mess around and your baby will come home for Christmas break and you won't know who you're talking to. Simply because the professor has forced his mindset, his thought process, his opinion on your child. We are in the middle of a healing story in the book of Acts. This section began back in chapter 3 when Peter and John healed the beggar outside the temple. This man who had been lame from birth then entered the temple with Peter and John, where he went walking, if you remember, he went walking, leaping, and praising God. This drew a crowd. And so Peter addressed the people, telling them, this ain't got nothing to do with us, but this has everything to do with Jesus. The healing may have caught the people's attention, watch this, but it is Peter's preaching that catches the leader's attention, and it's the name of Jesus that really causes the offense. There is no other name like Jesus. And we are going to look at three aspects of the name of Jesus from our text today. Is that cool? We're going to try to get through it today, amen? But I'm going to let y'all know, I'm saying it to your face, all of you. The medicine wore off. Pastor's out of here. All right, so no other, I want you to catch this. Number one, no other name, this is one of the things we're going to talk about, brings such offense. No other name. Two, no other name brings God's salvation. Amen. No other name can bring God's salvation. And then number three, no other name is worthy of your deepest loyalty and praise. Amen. Now, you remember I told you a couple of months ago, we're going to stop and know when we should respond to a word. Okay. And so let me read it again and see if anybody taps in. No other name is worthy of your deepest loyalty and praise. Here's why I say this, amen. When you begin to think about no other name is worthy, well, why would his name be worthy of your praise? See, so everybody probably got different answers for that, right? But it all lines up with one strong sentence. He saved my soul. Amen. And with every person in here, every person's got a different story of how he stepped on the scene of your life and saved your, oh, come on, somebody talk to me. Is it anybody that knows what I'm talking about? That he loved you despite you. He loved you when you wasn't wise enough to love yourself. You understand what I'm saying to you? There's no other name that is worthy of your, and it ain't just, don't be loyal to me. Just don't give me any praise, but your deepest loyalty. How many of you come from some things? Lord, have mercy. And you understand that had it not been for the Lord who was on your side. Some of you are to go out and if they're still in the land of the living, buy your mama and your grandmama a cake or take them out to dinner because it was the prayers of the righteous. I read somewhere in the Bible that it's the prayers of the righteous that availeth much. You understand what I'm saying to you? So while you was knee deep out in your crazy, somebody was on their knees praying you in. Somebody was on their knees talking about, don't let them get shot tonight. Don't let them overdose tonight. Don't let them, oh my, y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all gonna mess around and make me mess up my stitches in this piece today. Ain't got no problem worshiping the one that's worth the worship. You understand what I'm saying to you? You remember what I taught you a couple of months ago, worship. Worship is actually from an old English word that says worth-ship. So when we begin to talk about his worth in our lives, when we begin to say things like, he's worth all the praise. What you were saying is, I'm going to praise him on the level that he is worthy of in my life. Do I got anybody in the building that could absolutely lose their mind? You don't need a keyboard. You don't need a drummer. You don't need nobody to hype you up. All you got to do is look back on the hell that you've been through. All you've got to do is look back on the last 6 months of your life and realize you're still in your right mind. I dare somebody in here give God a hand clap of praise. Know about you, but I can praise him on a memory, amen. I don't know about, it don't have to be nothing that happened in the last 10 minutes. I can praise him on last week. I can praise him on last month. I can praise him on last Thursday when they took me into the surgery room. And guess what? I'm sitting before you today. I don't need no pumping and priming to give God. You ain't got to hype me up to give God the praise. Amen. Lord, have mercy. I want you to catch this. First thing is, no other name brings such offense. It's offense. It seems you can talk freely about other religious faiths or figures, but the moment you bring up the name of Jesus, people get offended. Yeah. People make the stink face, you know, all that stuff. And that's exactly what happened to Peter and John. I want you to look at verses, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. While Peter and John were speaking to the apostle, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is resurrection of the dead. I don't know why Holy Spirit just interrupted my thinking. Let me read that again. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus, there is a resurrection of the dead. And I don't know about nobody else in here, but watch this. But I've been physically alive, yet dead in every other area. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, so get this. When Jesus is so dope, that then when you begin to connect with the Messiah, watch this, dead things in your life, one of two things, they come alive again or they got to go. Amen? You can't have Jesus and death. Verse number 3. Here we go. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. Beloved, you need to know this, that and some of you already know this to be true, and some of you are about to have an aha moment, but there's a few things that will pop off that's bound to happen when you mention the name of Jesus. First thing is, you will catch people's attention. When you're talking about someone in a public place, nobody pays any attention to what you are saying. But the moment you begin speaking in the name of Jesus, you will suddenly be aware that people all around you are meddling in your business. When you speak the name of Jesus, you will catch people's attention for good or for bad. There's going to be some people that's going to draw to the name of Jesus, be drawn by the name of Jesus. But then there's going to be some people that come into your life, watch this, that every time you begin to talk about Jesus and the things of God, watch this, it's going to drive them away. Yeah. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And in this case, Peter and John caught the attention of the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees. Yeah. It's interesting because most of the opposition to Jesus in the Gospels came from the Pharisees. Okay? Most of the drama that Jesus had to endure from his haters were the Pharisees, okay? But most of the opposition to the book of Acts comes from the Sadducees. The Sadducees, they were wealthy, wealthy ruling the class that had collaborated with Rome. And they were often called conservative because they rejected oral teachings. But I tend to think of them as liberal theologians of this day. Amen. And unlike the Pharisees, they were not looking for the Messiah. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels, and they didn't believe in demons. So that's the first thing that happens when you speak the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is like a lightning rod. When you speak the name of Jesus, you will catch people's attention. Now, in the first three verses that I've introduced you to, I introduce you to three sets of people, and it's important that you get them and know a little something about them. So I'm gonna drop a few nuggets with the help of my homeboy Brother Willie. Amen. He found some fun facts for me, but get this: I want you to peep how people operate when it's about God. The priest that we first talked about, they were descendants of Aaron, responsible for temple rituals. These chief priests were part of the Jewish ruling class. They were deeply involved in political and religious management of the temple. Y'all work with me. Medication's got me a little dry. The captain, number two, we read about the captain of the temple guard. Second in authority, only to the high priest, this official was a high-ranking Levite or priest responsible for the maintaining order or guarding the temple, guarding things connected to the temple and handling security. They often led arrest of those, they often arrested those seen as violating religious norms. Well, why are you teaching now, Pastor? Because that's what we do here. See, a minute ago, you was all hyped, jumped up. Hey, man, I know, that's right, right? But what you going to do when it's time to know something and you don't know nothing? Amen? Amen? See, you got a whole new conversation tomorrow at work on the lunch break, don't you? Girl, let me tell you about the priest and the captain of the temple guard. The third set of people was the Sadducees, and they was a sect of wealthy people and priests who controlled the Sanhedrin and temple affairs. They did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, making them particularly opposed to the apostles' message. I want you to peep this. The Sadducees and the Pharisees and the high priest, they are all these religious groups and leaders, right? They really don't dig each other. But guess what? Their hate for Jesus is bigger than their hate for each other. And so what they've decided to do is band together, right? Because between the three of these sects, between the three of these people groups, we're going to be able to catch him up in something that's going to give us the right to get him on out of here. You got to be careful of people when they'll hook up with you, with people that you know don't like you. Oh, y'all missed that right there. In fact, people get mad at me. If I stop liking the Lakers, you better stop liking the Lakers or we ain't friends no more. I got a problem. Let me take it deeper. I got a problem with people who are friends to my enemies, especially if I'm not in the wrong. You understand what I'm saying to you? Don't call me and then call them. So these three people groups are not cool with one another at all, but they can't stand Jesus. Ooh. The second thing that will happen is some people will get upset. The religious leaders were upset. Why? Because the apostles were teaching the people about Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. If they had just been teaching people about the Jewish law or talking about the weather or, you know, the game last night, that would have been cool. There wouldn't have been any problem. But it was the name of Jesus that disturbed them. Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but somebody better catch this and then apply it to your life. There is some people, listen, there is some people in your life that would rather see you doing how you used to do. When used to do wasn't so good. Holy Spirit is saying everybody around you in this season ain't your people. I don't care what they buy you. I don't care what they offer you. I don't care what they promise you. Some of you've got some people in your circles that are as terroristic as Judas was. And some of you got some people in your life that you call them your spiritual this, that, and the other. And they need to be your spiritual past. Don't be letting everybody speak in your life. Any of y'all got any of them friends? The Lord always told them. He talks so much to them, they can't, God can't get a word with you. Not everyone is happy when you speak the name of Jesus. And let me tell you something, don't get it twisted. It happened with family too. Some of us got some family members that we thought would break down the door now that we're doing all right. Now that Jesus is our Savior. And all of a sudden, though, instead of loving us, they got funny style. You ever meet them family members that were super saved when you was a hot mess? And now that you ain't a hot mess no more and you read the Bible for yourself, you finding out they ain't so super saved? Not everyone is happy when you speak the name of Jesus. People are more than happy to talk about God, church, prayer, but when you bring up the name of Jesus, you better watch out. I have had more than one conversation shut down when I've brought up the name of Jesus. When praying in public situations, I have been asked on occasion not to pray in Jesus's name. So that I didn't offend anyone who was not a Christian. I have had people, and this is real talk, I have had people ask me to preach they people's funerals, but don't talk about Jesus because that really, they wasn't really into Jesus like that. And I immediately let them know, I'm not your guy because I'm going to preach Jesus every time I step into the pulpit. In fact, there was one time that I was asked to preach a funeral of someone whose belief was of the Hebrew Israelites, the cats that walk around in the purple shirts. And they asked me to preach it in a building that wasn't Growth Temple. And that was a crazy day because I was in a building that was not my own. Also, I'm about to preach to a group of people that do not agree with my doctrine or beliefs at all. And then to top it off, during the funeral, a homosexual walked up into the pulpit and read a poem about how God needed another rose for his garden. So God picked this young man to die a violent death to complete his garden. And I'm looking at all this. And the moment I was called to preach, when it was time to preach, I spent the first 30 minutes confronting false doctrines and emotional theology that is not supported by Scripture. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so tired of people when somebody die, right? And they die, you know, in some of the worst ways. Everybody puts them in heaven. God needed a rose, another rose for his garden. So he took little Timmy. I don't know nobody little Timmy, so don't nobody take it personal. So he took little Timmy and put hold on, Timmy died horribly. But you see what we do when we don't have answers, or you see what we do when we have answers, but we don't want to really release those answers. All of a sudden, we own a heaven and a hell to put somebody. And God, he was looking at his garden and said, I just need one more. Boy, shut up and sit down. Am I lying? In fact, the guy, with an identity crisis, I'm on my way out the thing, and he grabs me. I was like, hey, get your hands off me. And he says, I'm never going to say that poem again. I said, good, because you shouldn't, but you should come to my church. There's deliverance for you there. we're going to talk about some things there that just might bless your life. Amen. And so there will come times when you when God has you all the way on Front Street God, I could tell you so many stories. We went to one church one time and they had a preacher. He was already going to preach the word, but they wanted me to say words of kindness. I'm like, words of kindness? I don't know. I ain't never heard no words of kindness. How do you even know if I'm kind? And so we get over there and they doing this praise, they doing the praise and worship part of the service. And it looks like, I'm like, yo, we are in the club in Atlanta. We got boys dancing with, I mean, it was insane. And girls was, and I'm saying, and then they called me up after all that. Holy Spirit said something powerful. Holy Spirit said something powerful. He said, the reason that they called you over here was because they want to see if you'll say in their house what you say in yours. Well, when I got done, our praise team was supposed to sing next, but when I got done, they didn't want my praise team to sing. In fact, they took my praise team, they scratched the name of my praise team off the program. And they went on, what they used to. You understand what I'm saying to you? What I'm saying, why I'm sharing all this with you is because it don't make no never mind who it is when it come to God. Don't make no never mind what they might have for you, how they might be able to help you. They can't help you better than God can help you. You understand what I'm saying to you? We are always to stand on the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. I've seen people that I know openly blast Jesus on Facebook, but blasting us for following the so-called white man's religion, and then jump in my inbox and privately ask me to keep them in prayer because something major is going on in their lives. Make that make sense? I don't know. So I read it to my baby, and I said, well, you know, my response is always the same. Are you sure you won't me to pray for you? Because the God that I'm going to pray to is the God that you publicly ridicule every chance you get. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I'm not being mean, funny style, or insensitive, but what I am doing is remembering what I heard Jesus say in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse number 33. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. So I don't care how cool we used to be. Lord have mercy. I don't care how cool we used to be. So I don't care if how I believe means I lose you. There is nothing, and I mean there is nothing that is worth heaven. There is nothing worth my Savior being with my Savior for eternity. In fact, I agree with the Apostle Paul when he said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and then also for the Greek." Let me go ahead and read that out of the New Living Translation because it really breaks that thing down the way I like. It says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile." And so that you know, who's the Gentiles? We the Gentiles. What does Gentile mean? Those that ain't Jews. Now, because this language, this Greek, is such a rich language, it can have, Gentile can mean several different things. But the more, it all depends on how you're using it when you're relaying, you know, when you're talking about it. So right here, he's saying the Jew first and then also the Gentile. Simply mean, and second, those that ain't Jews. That's all. Now, let's just tell the truth and shame the devil. How many of you knew that Gentile in that instance meant not Jews? Okay, so a lot of us learned something today already. Because when I first started reading the Bible and I saw it said the Jews first and then also the Gentile, I was offended. Like, is he Who are you calling a Gentile? You know what I'm saying? Then I had to learn, right? And that's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You understand what I'm saying? You gotta read the word, and then you can read the word, but then you can study the word. What's the difference that I always say between a studier and a reader? A notebook and a pen. Amen. Amen. Third thing you may suffer is, and I'm almost done. Third thing that you may suffer is persecution. The religious leaders were so upset that they seized Peter and John and put them in jail. And put them in jail. You may or may not get arrested when you speak the name of Jesus, but you may get mocked. You may be ridiculed, shut down, or left out of certain social situations. Let me tell you what I mean. You ever walked in the house of somebody, a friend or a family member? Y'all were supposed to be cool on whatever level. And they might have been smoking a little weed and drinking, right? And when you walked in, they said something like, "Oh, here's a holy such and such. Let me put this up." They wasn't joking with you. They were insulting you. They were mocking you. The fact that you knew I was coming in the first place, but you thought you'd get one in, you'd hit it a couple of times and throw down a few before I walked in. You was disrespecting me before I got there. Well, what are you saying? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, right? So when people cuss around you, and then they say stuff like, "I'm sorry." You ain't supposed to say stuff like, "Are you all right?" You ain't supposed to do that. Because they should be sorry. Because why? They're in the presence of him. How? Because the Bible said, greater is he that's in me. So if he's in me, then you should watch your mouth. If he's in me, then you should put the drink up. If you understand what I'm saying to you, if he's in me, then you ought to operate accordingly. It's not that I am God, but the Bible says greater is he. In fact, Jesus says, if you'll abide in me, then I'll abide in you. So if I step up on the scene abiding all in Jesus, then it's safe to say that Jesus is abiding in me. So you should watch your mouth when we step up on the scene. Huh? Yeah. I remember one time my spiritual mother, one of my spiritual mothers, she asked, he said, "I just want to know, Stephen, what is it about your Holy Ghost that demons are comfortable around you?" Made me retrace my whole spiritual life. How many of you, be real about it. Know you got some unsaved people in your life. And they say some of the craziest stuff, right? But when I read in the Bible, Apostle, tell me if this is the truth, it said that the demons should tremor. They should be nervous when the people of God step on the scene. What are you saying, Pastor? I think it's time that for a lot of us to go back and do our first works again and power up on this Holy Ghost. Amen. Because the reality is when we walk in a room, everything should shift. Everything that ain't of him should get uncomfortable. Well, how are we going to win them if we make them uncomfortable? The uncomfortableness will set the whole stage for you to win them to the kingdom. Huh? Well, what is it? I mean, you know, I like you. You cool. I ain't never had no problem with you. You owe me no money. None of that. But it's just something about when you come around. Everything just gets off. Everything just goes wrong. I just feel some type of way. You tell them, yeah, you're in the presence of the Almighty. It's supposed to be different. How many of you believe that for real? God is so awesome. He is priceless. You understand? I mean, if we had all the money in the world, it still wouldn't be enough. Something that dope is supposed to shift everything when it walks in the room. Huh? Lord, have mercy. All right, let me get you through this. You might not get arrested, but you might get left out. It could cause a rift even in your family. It may hurt your chances of advancement at work, and you could possibly lose your job. But that don't matter if just one gets saved, huh? You know, in fact, I don't know why we're so scared about losing our jobs, right? You was looking when you found one, right? What don't you worry about your job for? Do you really believe, you know, Jesus said, you know, the birds of the air, they don't do nothing. And the flowers, I mean, they dope one day in the furnace the next. He says, but God still provides for the flowers and those birds that don't do nothing. He said, well, him being your good father, if he'll do that for things that don't matter, what you think he'll do for you? You really think God gonna let you starve because you was repping God? Huh? And I know it's radical teaching, isn't it? Hey, man, you can fire me. I'm gonna talk about Jesus. You ain't saying nothing while they in the break room playing Jeezy.
Talk about it.
Yeah. For God I live. And for God I die. It is really that real. Well, how do you say that, Pastor? Because he died on the strength of this, on the strength of me. Oh, God. All right, we're almost out. Let's look at Acts 4, verse number 4. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. Get this. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. Now, big number, right? That was just the men. Because back then, they didn't count women and children in the census. They were considered secondhand citizens. So they didn't get counted. So there's no telling how many thousands of people was actually there when we involved the women and the children. Amen? And so we already saw how 3,000 people came to the Lord after Peter's first gospel message. And what started out as a small group of believers at the beginning of Acts continues to grow, and nothing can stop the gospel. But you cannot share the gospel without speaking the name of Jesus. And when you speak the name of Jesus, you will catch people's attention. Some people gonna get upset, and you might suffer persecution, but it's worth it. It's worth it, even if it's only one that gets saved by it. It's worth it. How many of you in here today have unsaved people in your family? Got some friends that's unsaved. The best thing, and you worry about them, amen? I got some kids that's not saved, and I worry about them. I think about them all the time. I'm praying for them and praying about them. And the reason that I do that is because I love them. And I've learned that my words and conversation don't always rock the way I need it to. But my lifestyle. My lifestyle. My son put on Facebook years ago, I had bought a car and it was red. And my son took a picture of this car and said, I know Jesus is real. My daddy's riding around in a red car. And it was funny to people that didn't know, or you just scrolled past it, right? But if you knew me, if you knew me. One day we had a lady that was in a wheelchair and it was raining and she was trying to get to her room at the Red Roof Inn. And I saw police officers turn in two cars deep and they got out. One got out of one, another one, and they grabbed her bags and they was pushing her fast so that she wouldn't continue to get wet. And Holy Spirit allowed me to see that as I was coming in the building. And I said, man, you know, I'm so quick to say something about the police when they wrong. I said, I'm going to go over here and tell these guys I appreciate what I saw. And I said, can I take a picture with you? I've never seen police show this type of love. And they was like, you serious? I said, yes, sir. I'm the pastor of that church over there. I want to shout y'all out because y'all don't get it enough. People miss moments like this. And the lady came out from behind the counter and she snapped the picture at the Red Roof Inn. She snapped a picture of me and these guys. And I put it on Facebook. I put it on Facebook and I said what I said, something really nice about the situation and explained it and how I was moved by their love for this lady. My son gets on social media and says, well, I guess that's over with for me being a thug. My daddy's out here taking pictures with the police. But it was the comment that came after that. And I won't say his name. One of the hardest cats to ever walk these streets of Lexington. He said, thugging ain't for you. And that picture with the police, that's just growth. You should be proud your daddy's growing in what he's teaching. Seeds being dropped. You're going to drop a lot of seeds. And the hard thing about discipleship and winning people to Christ is that you don't always get to see the seeds grow. Amen. Sometimes you don't even get to water the seeds. You just gotta sow them. So while you're sowing that seed to your niece, your nephew, your grandchild, your kid, don't trip because you don't see the growth. The growth might not happen in your lifetime. I was blessed that both of my grandmothers got to see me preach the gospel a couple of times. But if they had to see it from heaven, they would have been just as happy because it came to pass. What are you saying, Pastor? Baby, sow the seed and keep it moving. If God says, hold on, stay a while, I want you to water that seed, stay a while and water the seed. But everybody that you speak Jesus to ain't gonna come to Jesus. But what they do have is a seed. It might have been the last seed needed to make them decide to walk this walk. Amen. Just plant the seed. For those of us that are caught up in instant gratification, this ain't for you. You know, if everybody sat in this building that I have witnessed to, showed up on the scene 3 o'clock in the morning, stopped shootouts while the pistols were drawn, if they were all sitting here, we'd need two services. we'd need two services. And one day I got upset with God. I'm like, all these people coming to me, they daddies as pastors, and they coming to me. And they good enough to come to me, but they ain't good enough to sit under me. Holy Spirit had to check me and check me quit. He said, what do you think this is about you? You just want them to sit where Christ is being preached. I don't believe that as long as you in church, you straight. I don't believe that. Some churches will bust you up. Some churches will break your spirit. But if you are in a church that is preaching Christ crucified, man, let me tell you something. If I look on Facebook and see my oldest son got baptized at a church that I know was preaching Jesus, my boy is saved. That's all I care about. Amen. If we have anybody in the building today that desires to give their life to Jesus, I offer you the invitation to come on down. We would love to have you in the body of Christ. If there's some people in the building that says, you know, I'm saved, but I've backslidden. I'm out of alignment with God. And today is the day that I want to rededicate my life. We offer you the invitation to come on down. Amen. We offer you the invitation to come on down.